Greetings in the name of the Lord. Over a long period of time, we are studying together from the prison epistles of Paul. These epistles are Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. Now I want to emphasize, and we've tried to emphasize this in almost every lesson, we want to emphasize the fact that the entire Bible is the Word of God. We do divide it into sections for the sake of study, but the entire Bible is the Word of God. These books are related to each other. They each have their purpose. They were given by God by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to be written down through the pens of men. But the entire Bible is the Word of God. And because it is the Word of God, it has unity and harmony. Some people look for contradictions, they call them, in the Word of God. There are no contradictions. When people find apparent contradictions, it simply means they don't understand the passage they're studying. They're misusing the passage. But some people delight in this, tearing down the Word of God. Rather, we need to respect it. We need to accept it. We need to accept it as our rule for all life and all practice. And so the Word of God is very important. And in the Word of God would be this one section of books, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon, called the prison epistles. Now, these were written when Paul was in prison in about 60 or 61 A.D. He was in his first Roman imprisonment. He had been taken as a prisoner there. He was suffering very much, but he still had a great love and a great burden for the churches he had established and this one individual named Philemon. Now, you notice as we've studied the book of Ephesians, and this is where we've begun, as we've studied this book of Ephesians, the theme of the book of Ephesians is the true salvation of God. And it divides into two very simple parts. First of all, the foundations for true salvation, and then the responsibilities of true salvation. Now, the foundations are very, very important. Romans discusses this in 11 different chapters, from chapter 1, verse 3, clear down to the end of chapter 11. He's dealing with the foundations of our salvation, the foundations for the Christian life. And so the foundations are very important. The Lord Jesus Christ as the divine Son of God, His sacrificial death on the cross, His resurrection, of course, His ascension back to heaven, His present glorification at the right hand of the Father. And so the foundations are important. And of course, my responsibility in trusting Him as my Savior. And then the relationship I have together in Him. And then the second part of the book, the responsibilities, deals with the fact that the Christian life is a life to be lived. It's not simply belonging to God and having the Heavenly Father as our Heavenly Father and belonging to His family, but it's a matter that in this world I represent the Lord Jesus, I honor the Lord Jesus, I exalt Him. People can see the Lord Jesus living in my life and fulfilling God's purposes for still living in this world. And so we have been studying this together. Now, I don't want to go back over all that we have studied, but I want to simply note that at the present time in these present lessons, we have been studying the relationships of the Christian life, relationships to other believers, the family relationships, and of course the relationships of people who may not be Christians. And so I want to continue this today. We've already studied the relationship of believers one to the other, some of the responsibilities we have in our relationships with other believers. We've studied the importance of the unity of believers in the body of believers. And many times this is a problem in local churches where the unity is lacking, where people are not really walking together in love as they should. And so this is a very important truth, this unity of believers. Then it also talked about how we deal with other believers and how we work in harmony with other believers. And it talks about the filling of the Spirit as we close that section. And then we came into family relationships. We studied, first of all, the relationship of the husband and the wife. And then we studied the relationship also of parents and children. And now I want to talk a little bit about this slave-master relationship. And you may say, well, what's the purpose of this? We don't have slaves and masters today. No, but we do have work relationships. We have school relationships. We have other relationships where people are under the authority of other people. And of course, this is true in government itself, were under the authority of the king, according to Romans chapter 13 and other passages. And so, as we live in this world, we do have relationships where we're under authority. Now, this slave-master relationship to us seems like a very strange one. Many slaves had been saved in that day, but they had unsaved masters. We see this in 1 Peter 2, verses 18 and 20, and this may also be true in this present relationship, although it seems as though the master might be saved that he's speaking of. But many slaves had been saved in that day with unsaved masters. Now the major question would be, how should they conduct themselves? They're being badly treated, many of them. And so the passages of Scripture deal with this subject of how should they conduct themselves. You're going to see this. I don't want to talk about this passage, but you're going to see this in Colossians chapter 3, for instance, verses 17 down to verse 23, and even beyond, how the slaves are to conduct themselves. We're going to see it, in fact, in this passage in Ephesians chapter 6. And I want to just quickly read that passage for you, and then I want to briefly comment on the contents of that passage. So let's look at this, beginning with verse 5 of Ephesians chapter 6. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in singleness of your heart. And then I emphasize this phrase, as unto Christ. This is also taught in Colossians chapter 3. Verses 17 and 23. You do your work to the Lord, not just to men. Now, verse 6. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as those who belong to Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord. There's that phrase again, and not to men. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. So this man probably is a Christian. Neither is there any respect of persons with him. Now I want to stop right here. But this is talking about this slave-master relationship. So many of them, as I have mentioned, worked for unsaved masters, whether they were Christians or whether they were not Christians, they were to have the proper conduct. Now, in that day, there were also situations where both the masters and the slaves had been converted, and then they became part of the same local church. The question is, in the local church, how would they regard each other? And this is a very important question. Would the masters want their slaves to even sit with them in the local church assembly when the believers are assembling together? Or would they treat them with contempt, perhaps? And so this question also had to be dealt with. Now, we notice the fact that this relationship between slaves and masters is to be a very spiritual one, especially if both of them are Christians. Now, I do not believe in slavery at all. In the case of Philemon, for instance, Philemon was to treat him as a beloved brother when Onesimus was returned to him. So I do not believe at all in slavery. Paul is so much not speaking of condemning slavery as having the right relationship when somebody had been captured from another country and brought into their own land. In other words, the Roman soldiers would bring back thousands and thousands of people who were going to be slaves. And now the question would be, how would they be treated? First of all, he gives advice to the slaves themselves. Chapter 6, verses 5 to 8. And these are some of the words of advice. First of all, they're to be obedient to their masters and submissive to them. Now this is true in many of our relationships in life. We're to be obedient and submissive, whether it's the workplace, whether it's in government, whether it's in school, wherever it might be, we're to have this obedient and submissive attitude. And then the second thing is, verse 6a, they're not to serve their masters in a superficial manner, but are to serve them as though they were serving the Lord himself. In other words, it's not just reluctantly and with resentment and with bitterness and with hatred, but they're to do their service, whatever their service might be, as to the Lord himself. In other words, their service is to be spiritual. And then, in the last part of verse 6, in his will, they're to do their work from the heart, applying themselves completely to it. And this is also taught in Colossians 3:23, where he speaks again of doing their work with all their heart, doing it with all their might, not just getting along, in other words, and not just doing it reluctantly or with bitterness, but they're to do it with all their heart. And then, in verse 7, they're to have the right feelings and the right attitudes towards their masters, as though they had this attitude toward the Lord himself. In other words, of course, the master is not the Lord, but they're to serve their masters as though they are serving the Lord, as though they are serving the Lord. And finally, in verse 8, they're to recognize that their final reward for such faithful service is going to come from God himself. Even though under Anne's saved masters they might be cruelly treated, even though some Christians might not treat them correctly. Now Philemon, for instance, had the right to beat Onesimus. Apparently, Onesimus had stolen something from Philemon, and Paul was sending him back. Onesimus had found Paul in Rome, had been converted through him, and now Paul is sending him back to Philemon and is saying to him, you must go back and submit to your master and take whatever is coming to you. But then Paul writes to Philemon, telling him that Onesimus is to be treated correctly. So they are going to sometimes even be beaten when they are slaves, but they are to recognize they're serving the Lord, and God will reward them. And then he gives advice to the masters, and let me close this lesson with this advice. First of all, they are to have the right attitude towards their slaves. They're to have the attitude of a Christian master. And I believe these would be speaking of Christians here, of course. They're not to be harsh or threatening to them. That's another important truth that they're taught. This is found especially in verse 9. And then the third thing is they're to regard them and treat them with a full knowledge that the Lord himself is their own master. In other words, that the Lord himself loves them dearly, treats them very tenderly and very kindly, and they're to treat their slaves in the same manner, so they're to have the right attitude towards their slaves. Now, several things I want to note as we apply a passage like this, even though we don't have this kind of slavery in our day. Several things I want to apply. First of all, in our relationship with people in society, whether it's in the workplace or in the school, some of you are students, or whether it's in government or whatever it is, we are to have this submissive attitude. Sometimes those in the workplace, those in schools, those in government itself will not always act as they should act. They will not always treat people as they should treat them. They will not always conduct themselves, even sometimes, in a fair and honest manner. Nevertheless, we're to recognize that we're under authority. So this passage is teaching us, I think, that we're under authority. The slave is under the authority of the master. The master is under the authority of the Lord himself. And so we're to conduct ourselves as Christians. If you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior from sin, then it's very important you conduct yourself as a Christian. You act like a Christian. You conduct yourself like a Christian. You use the example of Christ in your life. You're setting a good example. You're a good influence on other people. So whether you're a student or whether you're a worker in the workplace, working under a boss, or whether you're with people in society working under government, you're to conduct yourself always as a Christian so that people will know that a Christian is among them. I was up in the city of Shanghai, China for many, many years. I would go up there 4 to 5 months a year. In fact, for over a period of 17 years, I taught in the universities in Shanghai, China. And as I was up there, I was also witnessing, of course, to university students. But one of the things I observed was this, and that is that these people were hired by the state. And of course, they could work as they pleased. And then there was also the idea in many of the factories that they didn't want a Christian to work for them. In other words, the communist government was against Christianity, it was against God, and so forth. They didn't want a Christian. And I told some of the men that I met who were bosses in factories, if you had a Christian working for you, and this person were a true Christian, he would be the ideal worker. He would submit himself to your authority, he would be honest, he would never steal the money of the factory or any such thing. And so this is what God intends for society, that Christians would be the models in society. Whether they work under someone or whether they're over other people, they all are under the Lord Himself. Now I trust from this lesson that you can learn how you must conduct yourselves as you live in this society, in this case Guam, but some of you may be listening in other parts of the world. And whether you live here or you live in some other place, this is the way you are to conduct yourselves, as to the Lord Himself. And mark those phrases in your Bible, as to the Lord Himself. May the Lord help you to be everything that God wants you to be, and to conduct yourselves in the way that God wants you to live. May the Lord bless you, each one.